During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes, whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode. So, stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Well, all right, y'all. All across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer Cali. So if you're keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
Welcome to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, a production of iHeartRadio and Black Effect Podcast Network. Make sure you download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles. For my Apple users, hit the purple mic on your front screen, subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles, and leave a 5-star rating and comment.
We'd like to welcome everyone to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, and I'm with my homeboys.
Big J.
Jill.
And man, today we got a special guest, man. We got the homeboy Mano, man, all the way, man, from New York, man. You know,
NYC. Man,
NYC.
That's my spot, man. That's my second home, man. Shout out. What's up, Mano? What's good, fam?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Man, we good, man. We living, man.
Man, we just out here chilling, man. You know, doing what it is we do, man. I just want to say this. You got quite the reputation out there. You one of the real ones for sure.
Hey, man, you know what it is. I mean, we come from a real place, you know what I mean? And anything we had to do, we just had to do it, you know?
You know what I'm saying? And since we keep it all the way G on the show, we ain't going to talk about none of the beatdowns or the smackings that don't happen in the past, you know what I mean?
Right.
But one thing we always going to go back to, we going to go way, way back, man, because you did a bid for going to go tie up a drug dealer.
Say what?
You had did a bid for going, you know, back in the day, you know, you did a bid.
Mm-hmm.
You did a bid, man, out there, you know, was going to execute something that didn't go quite as you planned.
That's right.
When you was locked up, you found out that you had some special attributes about yourself. You actually learned how to rap in the hole.
That's right. That's a fact.
Okay.
That's a fact. I never had no, you know, inspiration or thoughts about being a rapper. I was always a fan. I was a fan of music, period, you know. You know, when the West Coast started to take off, and you know, I was in prison when MC8, you know, and you know, Menace to Society came out. You know, we was all fans of that. We watched Tupac rise. We watched everything happening, the death row and all that. you know, but I wasn't inspired to ever be an artist. I didn't start rapping until I was actually, you know, in a hole one of these times and, you know, spending a year in there and, you know, some guys that was rapping on the gate and it was a Friday night and I just was just like, man, you know what, the next, you know, I'm gonna get up the next morning and write me my first rhyme. And then I started just to do it out of boredom, just to pass the time. So that's how I started to develop to do that.
Oh yeah, man. I know coming from the streets, man, real street niggas kind of look down on rappers.
Indeed.
You know, real street niggas. So did any of your homies trip on you when you came home talking about I'm gonna be a rapper now? Was they kind of like, man, what the fuck you talking about, man, rapping?
See, that's the thing. Like, so I come from a place where it wasn't fashionable to be a rapper. It was like, rapper, huh? You a rap nigga? You a rapper? So it was, I had to keep it a secret for my guys, you know, and then I had to keep it, you know, I just wasn't coming on the yard and just rapping because, you know, it was just not the thing to be doing because, like I said, you know, we know it wasn't always fashionable to be that. You know, I never looked up to artists in that way. I never idolized rappers in that way. I didn't look at rappers and want to be them. You know what I mean? I was more infatuated with the other side of things. And, you know, what I did was, because I didn't want to just spring that on my homies, I kept it to myself for as long as I could. And I, you know, and because, you know, my niggas love me. So, you know, I got to a point where I was like, yo, I think we could do music as a hustle. So I had to present it to them, like, as an idea of a hustle, as an idea for us to try something different. Because now we in our 20s, and it's like, you know, we've been out here doing all this shit for all these years. You know, we throwing our lives away. Let's try to do something different. You know, we seen what music has done for, you know, for hustlers and dudes like Hov and them. Like, we could do the same thing. We come from the same neighborhood as, like, Biggie and Jay-Z and stuff like that. So we could, why not, you know?
And a lot of cats who come from the street aspect, I mean, we looked at that shit as a hustle. You know, mm-hmm. It's a way to not get caught up by the one times, you know, or serving yay on the corner. Fuck it. Let me serve some rhymes because I see niggas is making money from that shit. And especially if I can talk about the neighborhood and put some tales in the streets of shit we do on that aspect. So it becomes the hustle, like the DJ. Mm-hmm. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Wait, let me ask this. So why you can't be a gangster and start rapping? You just one of those real cats that's on some real gangster shit, and the shit that you spitting out there, people perceive that because they know what type of cat you is. So why you couldn't just, bam, just be that nigga?
I mean, you know, you are who you are.
Right.
No matter what hat you put on later on, you are who you are. So if your core is, you know, you a stand-up dude, then you're going to be a stand-up dude no matter how you put it. But to me, in the beginning, it was just the way I just had a insecurity on how I thought people would perceive me, you know. And plus, I was a lot younger, you know. But you are who you are. After a while, though, when the music starts to become profitable and you start to make some waves, you can't do both, though.
Oh, for sure. It's definitely
hard to do both.
Yeah, you gotta
pick a side at some point. I mean, you are who you are as a man.
Sit down, man.
But at some point, you know, when it becomes a business for you, you have to pick one hat over the other.
Yeah, man, and that's the thing, man. I want to go back, man, to when you first got locked up, man, because, you know, that's on this show, man. That's what we talk about, man. We try to really tell these young niggas that's out here, ain't nothing inside of that motherfucker. Everything is going on out here, really. You know, y'all trying to go in there so bad just to try to get a reputation and everything, man. When you first got locked up, man, what was going through your mind, man? Was you like, what the fuck? I can't believe I'm caught up in this dumb shit.
See, for me, I was, for lack of better words, I was a at-risk youth. So I had been getting in trouble basically for a great portion of my young life. I had been going and been in juvenile detention and, you know, division for youth and group homes and, you know, ADT schools and stuff, whatever they had for you. Like, I had been going through that already, Spawn Fit. So, you know, growing up, the way I grew up, going to prison almost felt like you expected it, because it was everything that you've seen around you. You know, all of the dudes that you respected had been in jail. Everybody that I looked up to had been in jail. And you almost expected to be one day in that situation, because it becomes natural because of the environment that you're in, because the environment is aggressive, the environment is violent, you're selling drugs, you're shooting, and the police is gonna come. At some point, we expect it. But my prison experience, I hated prison every day, bro. You know, I got into a lot of trouble in there. I ain't even gonna hold you. You know, I got into a lot of trouble. I was in prison. I was in over 10 different prisons, some of them twice while I was in prison. And that's a hell of a lot of different prisons to be in, you know? So that's just a testament of how much trouble I used to get into. You know, I spent almost 4 years in solitary confinement. So I was a knucklehead, you know what I mean? And, you know, I was definitely not one of the, you know, one of the model inmates, you understand? You know, I stayed in the shit. So, but I hated it. I hated it every day of it. And I knew that I wouldn't, whenever I did leave prison, I knew that I wouldn't leave my spirit in there. You know what I mean? I wouldn't do, I had rules about who I was. I wasn't gonna come to jail and become something that I wasn't. I wasn't gonna come to jail and become and involve myself with, you know, homosexuality, involve myself with and become a drug addict, right. You know, become a jailhouse snitch. Like these, because I felt like if I did any one of those things that I would be leaving my spirit in prison. So, you know, I stood tall, I did whatever I had to do. You know, I shook it up many, many, many times with many men, and I'm here to show it with all my scars, bro.
Blessed.
I mean, that's the transition that we like to present to people. You know what I'm saying? Because they hear Gangsta Chronicles and they feel like we want to advocate for all the negative shit that comes with that word. But like I tell people, when we conversate with niggas on this show, it's about the transition of coming out on the other side. You know, showing that, you know, a lot of us was products of our environment, of living that rough life or gangster shit or selling dope or whatever. But to be able to stand here today, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of shit that motherfucker go, damn, you ain't supposed to be here today. You get me?
That's right.
You still supposed to be, we either supposed to still be in prison for about 20-something more years, or we supposed to be underground. You feel me? So to be able to show people that niggas like myself, like you, like James, that we able to come through the other side clean, you know what I'm saying? It's just a positive impact that we try to let people see on Gangsta Chronicles. Indeed, and that we're able to be strong black men today and not be misled by the pitfalls of the neighborhood, you know, because as young dudes, we all see that shit as glamorized of banging or representing or being, like you said, that knucklehead. Especially as a young motherfucker going to prison, you know, that's like earning your stripes right there as
it
a
is,
youngster.
It is. And then, you know, you're impressionable, you know. You know, like you're impressionable, and then you know one thing. Like, I'm not letting nobody hurt me. I'm not about to be. You know, I thought I was somebody in the street. You know what I mean? I thought I had a reputation in the street. I'm gonna protect that in here, by all means. You know what I mean? And but you live and you learn. And the thing about growing is that you once you get an opportunity to live, then you see how important life is, and then you see how. You know, some of the things that you thought and some of the feelings that you had really wasn't really what it was. But you just needed that time. You just needed the opportunity to live a little so you can broaden your mind and you can level up and you can look back on your younger years. You can look back in your teenage years and you can see that, man, I was so destructive. You know, that really wasn't the right way to go. And, you know, so now when you know, like myself, I got an 18-year-old son. So now I was in prison by the time I was 18, you know? So because of my experience, I can better, you know, guide him because I know the pitfalls. I understand what it feels like to be a young teenage black male trying to find yourself, you know? And he got it way easier than I did. So, you know, it gives me that much more of an inspiration to be here and maintain what I'm doing and keep it pushing, bro.
Yeah, especially in hip hop, man, because what I've been seeing over this trend over like the last 10 years, man, to where you got a whole lot of talented young artists that's going to prison. Like you just had Bobby Smurder on your show. You know, he at the height of his career. He got this big ass record that don't took off.
That's right.
And he couldn't even enjoy the fruits of his labor. And I'm pretty sure the record company could have posted bail for this nigga or did something for him, but they ain't do shit. They kind of turned their back on him and then profited off of all the chaos. You know what I mean?
Right. Why do that, though? Why do that? I think if you turn yourself, you start doing rap, and then you good at it, and then you go in the street. Just like you said earlier, you can't do both. You can't be a gangster and rap at the same time. Do what you do, and now you got an opportunity to leave that shit alone. So that's when we should know, okay, I got to bag up from you fellas. Mm-hmm. And everybody that's in your corner should have your back at that time when you try to transition from a gangster to rapping to make money. Mm-hmm. So why go bail him out of jail? That only enhance how he think.
So you think they should have left the young brother in there like they did?
Man,
well, not to cut you off, but specific to Bobby and them situation, a lot of what was going on with them was that they had already had issues and they was already, you know, under investigation way before he even popped off. So, you know, it was a high likely chance that he was already going to be on that path to go to prison anyway because they was already on him. I think the issue is when artists have the opportunity to become artists, to get money, to feed their families, and then become criminals later. That is hustling backwards because I always felt like, you know, we was in the street not because we wanted to be, because we adapted to whatever our environment was.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
During the summertime, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So, connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
If you speak to any real dude you know, that's actually really active in the street, and whether he in his late 20s or early 30s, he don't really want to be there. He don't really want to be there. Like we did what we had to do because we felt we adapted to our environment. We became savage because that was a response to our environment. Like, how do you get an opportunity to become a star and then become a criminal later on? Like, that to me is counterproductive. That ain't really what it was, because you had every opportunity to be what you say you is now prior to that, and you wasn't participating.
Right.
You know? So I think that that's what the difference is like when we see a lot of these young dudes become something that they really wasn't later on.
Yeah, you see it all day. Like, and that's more the thing. Like you said, Bobby and them was in the streets, and I know a lot. I'm pretty tapped in out there, so I know they was already doing their thing. Because Glasses was telling me about them little niggas. I managed Glasses Malone, and he was telling me about them little niggas way before they popped off, and he was going out there messing with them and stuff. So my thing is this. I see a lot of cats out here. Now, my problem is with the guys that make it, then decide to come, then decide, oh, I'm going to be this gangster. I'm going to go get jumped in. I'm going to go to the coast. You see these cats all the time come out here and get caught up in that shit. They get caught up in the gang shit. They come out here and they get on with a bunch of niggas that really ain't fucking with them like that. But they got money and they got some influence. And before you know it, they getting their cribs broken to and shit. And all the little funny shit start happening and everything. Do you ever try to holler at some of these niggas, main them, and tell them, man, look, you hustling backwards?
I mean, you know, you gotta be careful, you know, how you give your advice. You know what I mean? Because you always want to maintain a respect level, you know? You just can't be the nigga just running around passing out advice, because then you just like, you know, niggas could perceive that as you being just too preachy, you know what I mean? But for the ones that I actually have relationships with, for the ones that, you know, that we actually call each other and we actually, you know, spend time around each other, you know, of course we get into conversations where, you know, I try to tell them that the opportunity is greater than the problem, and I try to give them life lessons and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing, you know, in talking to the big bro James all the time and just different cats that I know, man, it seemed like the hardest part, man, for a guy that's coming out of prison is staying out of prison.
Indeed. I got a book that I'm coming out with soon. It should have been out. I've been working on this book for so long. You know, it's called The Art of Freedom. And what you just said is a testament to, you know, something that a lot of people are not talking about. So, the conversation about prison reform and reforming, you know, and repealing laws and all that is a great thing. But there's also the conversation that I don't feel like we having enough. And that's the conversation about dudes actually not knowing what to do when they get back. You understand? And not having as many options, not having so many opportunities. And a lot of it starts with the way you're thinking. You know, so I put together a book, you know, it's sort of like my version of a 48 Laws of Power, you know, but it's me speaking to my street niggas and my niggas that just, you know, either just came home or is about to come home. And it's my philosophy and my views on the steps that I feel like should be taken or could be taken to maintain your freedom, you know, because before you can be successful at anything, whether it's some rap shit or anything to do with entertainment or whatever it is, you got to be successful at being free. So a lot of that start with the way you think and the way you think about your moves and the way you think about your freedom and the way you position yourself, you know, is going to determine how you turn out. Because how many of us been watching dudes go to prison for the last 20, 30 years or whatever, you know what I mean? And they just can't get it right. So, that's something that I'm coming out with soon.
Well, it's almost designed for them not to get it right. You figure you get a cat that comes home, you know, especially the homies that's been in for 10 or more years, even 5 years, you come out, it's a whole different motherfucking world. You behind.
Man, yeah, James. What makes you wake up, James?
It's not even that. It's I call it penitentiary propaganda. I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that when you're in the penitentiary, or I ain't coming back here no more. You make a lot of promises to yourself, but when you smell the different air, when you smell freedom, you going right back to where you came from. And a lot of us don't pay attention. Before I walk out of this door, I really got to make this decision where I'm going to go this way or that way. Nine times out of ten, we ain't thinking like that because I done did 3 years sitting down. First thing I want to do is go get up in something. Mm-hmm. Next, go hang with the homies that everybody know I'm out. Now, once you do that, everybody coming to you. Oh, the homie just get out of prison. Now you feel like that penitentiary celebrity. You feel me? Now when you're out, now you hanging. And before you know it, you can't grab that grip again and saying, okay, damn, I'm supposed to be following protocol. I said I was going to do this and do that. You ain't thinking like that no more. Penitentiary propaganda. You're thinking about one thing, but you got something else on your mind. And that's the homies, that's the hood, that's the chicks. Now you get somebody to lace you with a little something here. This will hold you over. Now you back in the streets. You know what I'm saying? And before you know it, you're on a violation. Now that propaganda is coming right back to you. I shouldn't have did this. When I come home after this year, 2 years, I ain't going to do this. And then you find yourself right back in the same shit. So it's pretty much lying to yourself while we in prison. And then when we get out of prison, we so happy to be free, we go right back to the same bullshit. So being in prison, you got to be honest with yourself and you got to know where you want to go once that gate open and they give you that little money to walk out of there. I've seen it done. I've done it. I've been out of prison since 1988 and haven't seen one since. So I know and I knew ain't no female going to bring me back to prison. And I ain't gonna let the homies bring me back to prison because there's nothing in there. Once you realize that, can't nobody send you back to prison but yourself.
That's real, brother.
Yeah, because once you realize the kind of the cards is stacked against, the deck is stacked against you anyway, because you figure you get a nigga to come home, right? He got every intention. He go get back with his baby moms. He go find him a job. He go get him this little job, right? You got to lie on the application because they ask you if you ever been a felony, you know, so you don't been told no so many times, you finally say, fuck it, I'm going to put no on this motherfucker and see what happened. So you working at a job, you get you a little gig, you there for 2 or 3 months, and they come back and say, hey, your background check don't came back fucked up, you got to go. So you doing this 2 or 3 times, you get frustrated because you got a broad at home that she been holding you down, probably sending you commissary and shit all this time. So now you at home, you ain't became nothing but another bill for this woman at this point. She taking care of the kids, she taking care of this, you know, now she taking care of you. So it's like you go do whatever the hell you got to go do. You go have a homie front you a sack, you go do what you got to do, and next thing you know, you back in there. It's almost like the whole probation shit. We don't talk about that a whole bunch of times on this show. It's like a big trick bag.
Wow. That's a honey.
Well, you got to look at it, though. You know, when you come home, the penitentiary still going to wear off sooner or later. You ain't going to be fucking her like you fucking because you're fresh out. She going to get tired of that. She going to be used to it. So she goes back to the same shit she's doing. Who want to take care of a grown-ass man? So we got to figure out... Us being black people, we don't want to work at Taco Bell. We ain't going to work at no bullshit-ass job. Mm-hmm. Not thinking, I'm just coming from the penitentiary. I'm going to take whatever the fuck I can get. And I'm one of them cats. I'm not doing that.
No, not if you come from that hood life. Yeah. And you got a name and you supposed to be some shit.
So
you resulting in the fuck that. So, I got to go back to doing...
The baller.
Exactly.
Come on.
Well, that's what you want to go back to. So coming home and then trying to do security... Being a security guard at Walmart at night or somewhere like that, it's only going to last 90 days because you got a record. And I was lucky because here comes Suge. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Nigga ain't got to put on a uniform. But the uniform I got, exactly.
My representation from the neighborhood is my application.
That's it.
And that was verified.
I ain't had to fill out shit, and you don't have to do too much of nothing. But then that type of shit will send you back to the penitentiary because going into the industry, on the outside of it, I'm not a rapper, just a force, you know what I'm saying, can send you back to prison. But no, if it's here and your mentality, I'm not going back to prison, and I can't let now one of you cats send me back to prison, then that makes you above the rest of them because this is where everybody think we supposed to go.
Yeah.
I'm not following you there.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of Suge and all of them,
Why?
Mano, you got a solid reputation. I got a whole bunch. We got a whole bunch of mutual homies and stuff. And I told him, I said, hey, man, we go holler at Mano. He was like, that's going to be a good dude for y'all show. You know, talk to him about this and that and everything.
Right.
What do you feel about the rise of the gangs in New York? Not that you got to, you know, I ain't necessarily asking you to have an opinion, but that's kind of crazy, ain't it?
Yeah, see, it started in prison. I was in prison when it started, and I understood why it was starting. You know, it was a time when, you know, a lot of the Hispanic brothers, you know, they was ganged up, and you know, it was an era where, you know, it was more or less kind of them against blacks, and we wasn't unified, so. From my understanding, you know, 1993 and C95, a couple of brothers got together and was just like, yo, we going to band together. And that was the start of the Bloods, and it became what it became. So I understood what it was for. And, you know, that unity that was needed in that era. You know, it became what it became. You know, I never was involved with the gangs because that's not the era I really come from. You know, I'm just maybe a couple years before that. You know, and it was cool to be able to stand on your own and have your name on your own and not need nobody and not, you know, not go to jail and become this or become that. You know, so. It is what it is right now, bro. Like, you know what I mean? I wish it was a lot more leadership, though. You know, I wish, you know, especially in my part of town, like, I wish it was a lot more solid leadership, you know, because there's a lot of things that I feel like they can do and it could be more useful doing, you know, if the leadership was better.
Yeah, I feel that, man. And that's, I think that's all around the country, dog, because these, you know, these young niggas, man, they kind of think different. Not kind of, right. They think different. I think they definitely do before they think. You feel what I'm saying? And when you don't have that big homie kind of leading you,
right,
it ain't nothing but destruction and death to follow. Guaranteed.
That's right. That's right. See, we was young niggas and we didn't think, you know. So I understand that aspect of it, you know. But when nowadays, when the big homie is not even as smart or as intelligent as the little homies, then what do you have? So when your big homie has never amounted to anything, has never, you know, surpassed things in life, or is not experienced enough in life, then all you're gonna have is destruction, you know. And all he's been doing all his life is spinning, in destructing. Then that's all he gonna give fruit to. It's all he gonna give birth to. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the blind leading the blind, and you know,
really with the aspect, because you know, like I said, we all was young niggas at one time, and as far as we was on the West Coast, we really didn't have, you know, what you would call that leader structure in the gangs and shit. I mean, even though we were all together, it was like, you know, you stand on your own, even though we watched each other back and we together and shit.
Right.
We didn't have like just one main motherfucker controlling or structurizing a neighborhood gang. So I think as far as we are on the West Coast, it was different from us.
Way different. We had big homies. You're exactly. Going to always have big homies because you got those guys you follow that's older than you. But other than that, we never had somebody to say, y'all gonna go over here, y'all this. Nah, I wouldn't have that.
I kind of thought y'all did, though.
Nah.
I kind of thought that's how the...
Some neighborhoods did, but like my neighborhood, we didn't have that.
Right.
Like the Marcus Nuns of yesteryear, back in the days, they were leaders. They were the ones that put certain things together for their neighborhoods, and a lot of cats followed that. But in my neighborhood, we didn't have the OG that's putting the shit together. The majority of our OGs were on some other shit, going back and forth to prison just on GP, couldn't even give that number back. Drugs or some shit like that, robbery, shit like that. They wasn't sitting on the block, the homies, y'all fucking up, y'all, I didn't have that. So I didn't look at the big homies as I need to go get at these dudes or don't do this because it's repercussion to it. I did what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, and I had cats that ran with me, and we put shit together. So we never had a leader, and I don't think it's whether you have a leader, whatever title these people use. 18, 17 years old, you can think for yourself. Mm-hmm. And a lot of cats don't think for themselves. They think they have to follow. Just like you said, you weren't part of a gang. You was doing you. You got your reputation off of you. I call that gangster by nature, not by choice, because mm-hmm. you found your own way. You stood up and did you. And people recognize you for you, not for the hood, but they recognize your get down. So that's all that is, man. Is I don't need a title to fit in or feel like I'm part of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Every man needs to think for himself, but some neighborhoods they don't. Some neighborhoods do.
And I would say
our interpretation of LA, we always kind of thought it was like, because the word big homie comes from there, right? If I ain't mistaken, it's like. You got the little homies, and you got the big homies, and the big homies is basically the ones that's controlling everything, depending on what said or what hood,
That's on the outside.
Outside, we thought about it.
Yeah, outside looking in.
Man, and I'm going to tell you, a big thing to fuck the big homies up all over the country was crack. 85 through motherfucking the early 90s and shit, a lot of dudes went from, because you got to look at it like this. In 88, smoking a Primo or doing some blow was some baller shit. You know what I mean? It was some baller shit. You
83.
See, you feel what I'm saying? That was some baller shit. You had niggas who had the pinky rings. They, hit them one of these and everything.
That wasn't my era. My era, we started looking at, because we was just young drug dealers. Five, six niggas rushing the car, all that shit. So we had niggas, by that time, niggas was doing Sherm and shit. Niggas was way gone off of everything.
Niggas was doing Sherm in the 70s.
Yeah, the Sherm, so drugs pretty much fucked up. Drugs made a whole bunch of niggas rich. It got a whole bunch of niggas in the penitentiary, and it destroyed a whole bunch of motherfucking lives.
It destroyed a lot of the big homies. It destroyed the structure in the hood. But it only affects you if you follow that. Mm-hmm. If you follow up under those guidelines, then you ain't going to want to do shit. You ain't going to want to be productive. You ain't going to do it. You feel me? So none of that shit even matter. People just got to look at it like, I'm doing this. I got to get out. Don't buy no dope and then know you finna smoke that shit. You feel me?
Yeah.
You defeat the purpose.
But the thing is, everybody started out. I never fuck with that shit, but I see my older homeboys smoking them Primos. A lot of them dudes that were smoking them Primos, eventually that shit wasn't working.
What's a Primo?
A Primo is a joint laced with some crack, with some cocaine, with some rock.
That's called a Primo?
Yeah, with some cocaine and a Primo or Mo.
We call that shit a Wooly.
A Wooly?
Yeah.
So that's what Wu-Tang Clan was talking about in them songs? That's the only Wooly shit?
Yeah, smoke the Wooler.
Yeah, and so that fucked up a lot of motherfuckers on the low, and one of the questions I want to ask you, and you a guy that's qualified to answer this. You coming from the place that you come from, man, and you first get in this recording industry, one of the most fakest motherfucking businesses in the world. Did the shit kind of like throw you for a loop a little bit?
It did, because I thought they wanted to see some real shit. So I started putting hands on niggas, and it was like, hold on, you really did that? And I was like, yeah, y'all ain't want to see that? I thought that this is what y'all wanted. Y'all wanted the real thing, right? Y'all wanted the genuine article, right?
Right.
But that's not, it's a bullshit. Business, bro.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot
my
of
my mentality was wrong. I was like, oh, all these niggas is fake. We're going to come in the game and just over-aggressive. Just my mentality was wrong. And I wish somebody would have told me and really explained to me that this was really just a business. And it was really just about images. And it was really about marketing.
Exactly.
It's just what it is. It's just that.
Oh, because you scare motherfuckers when you do some real shit.
And you scare your money away.
You scare your fucking money away. Them motherfuckers be ready to cancel you like it ain't shit. Like, oh, goddamn, this motherfucker is a real nigga. Like, we can't have this motherfucker. They like the pretend shit, and they like the facade of what it looks like. But when they run into a motherfucker who will really run in and kick in your door and pull a pistol on you and slap the shit out of the motherfucker, they get scared and they backpedal. But then they still want to make money off the shit.
Well, they can make money off you as long as you're valuable and you gotta always have some value. But the thing is, you can mess up a lot of your opportunities not knowing. So a lot of me bumping my head in the industry was because I was coming directly off the street. So I was coming from prison, and I went back to the street, and it was just like we coming right out of the street right into the industry. So we don't have the game, or we don't have nobody to really say, yo, look, let me sit down and really give you the game for what it really is, because you intelligent. But you need to just sharpen a couple other things. And, you know, had I known that, then I would have not have cut off some of my opportunities early, you know. But I figured it out, you know, as time went on. You know, it's just a game, man. It's marketing. It's, you know, it's a business, bro.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
During the summertime, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family, or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So, connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet, and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a business, man. And I think it catch, you know, I don't know, some talented dudes, man, some talented brothers that came from the street and came in this shit and really just lost their mind because it wasn't what they thought it was. And they wound up not being able to progress, you know. And it's like you just can't. It's so phony. And I told somebody that cats like the Tekashi 6ix9ine dude, they a product of all the bullshit. They're a product of all the bullshit. That's the shit that got created by the industry, man, because you figure these kids see that. That's the biggest thing, though, man, because I see a lot of people coming in this thing, man, and it ain't what they thought it was, and they get disappointed because they meet niggas that they thought was that dude, and you meet him, and you like, damn, I'm disappointed.
Definitely.
Right, because, you know,
the industry is a facade on some niggas.
Yeah, it is. And I feel like us being street niggas, though, a lot of times we wear our heart and our emotions on our sleeves. And it wasn't really designed for us. But I'm going to tell you, for me, the moment that I stopped taking things personal is the moment I started to do better. The moment when I figured out that the industry and the people that inhabit it are not like me, and they don't have the same values, they don't have the same principles, they don't have the same integrity as me, and I'm going to be offended all the time because they're going to always do things that offend me. The minute that I stopped taking it personal is the minute that I was able to progress a lot more, because I was like, it took the emotion out of everything, and I wasn't wearing, you know, my emotions. I was like, every time somebody said that they was going to call me and didn't call me back, or, you know, stop answering their phone, those things drive street niggas crazy. Like, exactly. We can't take that because we deal.
Trust me, because I'm going to tell you.
We deal with honor and principle. We deal with our word. We deal with
honor. A nigga not hitting you back will make you want to go slap the shit out of nigga.
Exactly.
And if it's on some music shit, you got to be just like, you know something? Fuck it. Let me keep it pushing and shit, because this nigga don't understand the concept of where I'm at with nigga. Goddamn, you can't even hit me back, or the respect of even just answering a phone call. Especially right. When it's got to do with a nigga in this business. You feel me?
That's right.
And like
that's
you said, right. When they don't come from the same walks of life you come from, this motherfucker probably sitting at his desk every day. You know what I'm saying? On some front shit. Or phony.
Yo, people don't even, some people work, their word is not even important to them.
Exactly.
Right? So certain things that's important to you, that's important to us, they don't have that same value system. So then you gotta measure your expectations on them. I can't expect him to put value in his word when he wasn't raised to do so. If he was comfortable or grew up in telling lies or being deceitful and treacherous to people, was the way that he was raised, then that's who he is. And we, in the industry and in the game, is full of that. You know, so like I said, like for me, I had to start to measure my expectations, because if I didn't, then it'd drive a nigga crazy. You can't excel. You go crazy on everything.
Oh yeah, for sure. And one of my biggest tasks, that's what I had to tell Big Bro James, right? When we first started doing this shit, you know, you get a lot of people that call you. They'd bring up ideas and shit. You get excited, you get ready, and the motherfuckers disappear. I was used to that stuff. Me, you know, working for the publishing company and just being in management and being in the industry. You know, somebody tell me something, I don't get excited until the check come.
That's right.
And in some cases, until that motherfucker clear, because I don't got a bunch of bouncing ass checks before too in this shit. You know what I mean? Just shit, you know, it's like right. Motherfucker scheming and shit. But you can't take it personal, bro, because that's just what their world is. And the moment you put your hands on one of them niggas, dog, or say something about it, next thing you know, you really not jumping off no more.
I damn sure right. Be feeling like that. Sock the shit out this motherfucker and get it over with. It won't lie to me no more.
Yeah, and I don't even think it's so much lying. Hold on 1 second. Where's that feedback coming from?
Close the door.
Close the door.
Oh, it's two phones together.
You got two phones together. My bad, man. Nephew in here wilding out. Yeah, he doing his motherfucking thing. But that's the thing, man. You can't take none of this shit personal, or you won't have nothing going on, because I know around the time that you was doing your thing, you had a reputation for slapping the shit out of niggas.
Damn.
It happens, man.
And that's what we was hearing for. Hold on 1 second, bro. I'm sorry. You got him?
Yeah. Excuse me. I mean, shit, that's what's going to happen. I mean, if, like I said, if you come from some certain walks of life, I mean, you're not going to put up with certain shit, man, from nobody. And especially in this game of music and entertainment, niggas be on some funny shit sometimes. And like I said, it just be too many niggas perpetrating to be real, be on phony fake shit. And sometimes you can't even hold that shit back, man. Your the natural self come out. And man, I just gotta check the nigga. I just have to, because this shit is uncalled for. Some niggas need to be checked sometime though.
Yeah, for real. And you can answer this if you want to, man, or not. Who was the nigga in the industry that just disappointed you the most? And you met this nigga, you couldn't wait to meet him, and when you met him, you was like, this motherfucking weenie.
That's happened many times. It's too many of the names specifically. Exactly. It's yeah, you know, there's a saying that you shouldn't meet your idols though. You shouldn't meet your heroes though, because they never add up to what you thought that they was gonna be. You know what I mean? That's why mystique is the greatest thing. You know, you seem close, but you really are far. So, you know, yeah, that happened many times though, bro. Like, I'm like, damn, this nigga really a bird. Like,
Bird?
Yeah, that's Bird. That's New York slang. That's New York slang. A bird ass nigga. Yeah, you know what the thing is, though? It's worked the opposite for me, too, sometimes. Sometimes the niggas I thought was weenies, I meet these niggas and we somewhere out on track. I'm like, this nigga really with the business.
Yeah, that happened, too.
Yeah, you know, he just don't talk about it like that. And that's what I noticed. The dudes that don't put up that persona that's cool and everything, like, when you see you, you ain't out there wilding out. You cool, you personable, you a nice guy. Until you start some bullshit.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's because, you know, when you comfortable with who you are, you don't gotta project something else. You know, you smile, you laugh, you know, you're humble, you know, you just comfortable in your skin as a man. You know, a lot of times, you know how it is. It's always the nigga that's bopping the hardest or ice grilling the strongest. He probably the weakest.
Well, I tell you this. I give props to the nigga who everything I thought he was. I was a Ghetto Boys fan coming up. Big Ghetto Boys fan. Willie motherfucking D. Willie is D. The nigga on the records and the nigga in person.
Yeah.
Cool brother. Cool nigga. I don't met a whole bunch of cats like that that's just like everything you thought they was going to be.
Right,
they
right, cool. Right.
And I actually saw him put hands on a nigga in Texas one time at a restaurant. Willie D got hands. You know, so he was everything I thought I was, man. And I don't miss some dudes that's like disappointment. I'm like you. I'm going to get a political answer. It's been so many, I choose not to name them, you know? But, you know, let's come back to this music shit, dog. Because you a dude that wasn't supposed to get what you got. You know, you came out and you put out a big ass motherfucking record. You came with the High Hater record that had the clubs banging. Because that was a big record out here on the West Coast, dog.
Definitely.
I had my biggest record was All the Above.
Oh, yeah.
All the Above was bigger.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, All the Above was your biggest record. But they fuck with you out here, though, dog.
Yeah. I'm in and out of L.A. all the time.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, you make sure the next time you out here, we can do this in person.
Yeah, so it's certain niggas that come into the industry. Like I said, I don't listen to a lot of motherfuckers. But, you know, Mano, you was a motherfucker I listened to when you first hit the scene. I never listen. Like I said, I don't like to listen to new shit because it don't be that feeling of the yesteryears of shit where I came from. But you had authentic music. Like I said, I fuck with a lot of New York niggas. Been fucking with New York for a long time. Shout out Money to Primo.
Right.
But you had that music, and you was one nigga that we out here on the West Coast gravitated to because you came from the same type of walks of life.
Indeed.
Respect, my nigga.
Yeah. Nah, it's love, bro. Respect.
You know, and one thing I want to touch on too, you got a podcast, man, it's kind of popping, man.
Yeah. Kitchen Talk, man. We doing very well.
Yeah, man.
Oh, y'all peeped that out too. Yeah, you got a lot of good content on there, shit. A lot of good guests too. Yeah, y'all be cranking it up on that motherfucker.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, man.
Yeah, y'all be cranking it up over there because I was talking to Chris Morrow about you.
Uh-huh.
He loved him some Mano. He was talking about you, man. He think very highly of you, dog.
Definitely.
He think very highly of you, man. So what's next, dog? Like, is we getting some more records? What's going on?
Yeah, definitely, man. I just dropped the project in December, but I've been holding some records though. I got a whole project done. I'm just trying to lock in this distribution, and we just gonna keep pushing, man. I'll be back on the West Coast. I'm gonna finish this movie that we were shooting on the West Coast, in LA, in about 2 weeks. You know, got the book coming, you know, more podcasts coming. And you know, we gonna keep just giving you every part of me, just in different components now. So now we ain't just doing music before. So now, you know, we hustling on different angles.
Well, that's where the game kind of went to, man. You can't just do music no more. It's like music done almost became just like the calling card for all the other shit that you got going on. You're almost like a media personality now.
Right.
And music is just a component
thing,
of it.
You got to just be a personality all across the board now. It's not just about, you know, the music. And the thing about when you got other components is that when you're making money from the other components, it keeps the music pure. Like, you ain't got to chase after trying to make a radio record or whatever. You know, make the music pure, make the music for your fans. You know, you don't gotta try to be in the race. You know, you just stick to your core, stick to your fan base, and just deliver to them.
Right.
You know,
yeah, for
cool
sure.
With that.
And you make sure we get them records, man, because I might as well break this news now, man. We just got picked up for 9 in 9 markets for our radio show, man. Wake your punk ass up. So make sure we get them records, dog.
Yes. Yeah. Of course.
You know what I'm saying? Media base and BDS too, dog. You know what I'm saying? So
That's just important.
You know what I'm saying? You get that one spin with us, it's gonna count 9 times on there, you know, so make sure we get it. You know what I'm saying? We got real niggas playing records now.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. We trying to play some real shit. We ain't trying to play none of this phony shit. So yeah, we definitely need some good music and from artists that we respect, you know what I'm saying? Not on no bullshit. Like I said, people nowadays can't take criticism with their music. That's what I tell motherfuckers every day.
Let me ask you this, hey. So a weenie can't make good music?
A weenie can't make good music.
Can a weenie make good music? Can a bird make good music?
I don't know, man. Cause they probably they ain't walk that lifestyle, so they can't make our good music.
Well, you know, this is what I will say.
They can talk about some phony shit. You get me? They can talk about some stacks of money and pulling up in the Lamborghini and, you know, my chain this and my chain that, and maybe pop a perk or two. But, you know, they can't spit that realism about the hard walks of life and the niggas struggling and how you had to come up and, you know, how you had to go to prison and walk this walk and walk this line to become the motherfucker you are today. So birds can't really talk that talk.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, dog. And I don't want nobody out there. Don't go take my little clip and turn it into Steel was on there dissing such and such. Rick Ross makes incredible music. But that is the most phony shit I don't ever heard in my life, dog. It's like watching a movie, dog. It ain't nothing real about it. But it's great music, though. I like Rick Ross too. I love him. Ain't nothing wrong with him. This is what I'm saying. I want you to hear me out. See, James looks like he's about to jump on me about this. Hear me out.
But this is Steele's opinion.
Yeah.
What he feels.
This is what
this
I think, though, dog.
To do with you, James.
And this is one of the things, and I think Ross is an incredible dude. And Ross actually a solid cat. That's the homie. That's my nigga. But Ross says shit that you almost can't compete with as an artist. You know, when he talk about I'm with the real Noriega, I'm selling 100 keys a week and I'm doing this and that, man, some of that shit just be kind of like overboard, over the top.
But that ain't for you to judge, you know.
I'm saying it's me making my opinion. I ain't knocking it. He's successful at it.
All right, let me ask y'all a question, man. Since rap been going on, motherfuckers has been saying shit.
Right.
And everybody know that you ain't living that life. Everybody know you ain't fucking with Gandhi. You ain't never met the motherfuckers.
Now, there you go. Y'all just answer the question. That. So that means a bird-ass nigga with an active imagination can make some good
music. But he say shit to make it sound good, though.
This is the whole point. There's dudes who write books, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some dudes write fictional shit that ain't true, whatever. And some niggas write shit about shit.
And that's all
true.
I'm saying. And
it's that's the all same I'm thing. You have to break it down. Entertainment is in the fucking tainment.
And that's what I'm saying.
Unless you that walk of life that you coming from, I'm trying to spit some real shit to a nigga. You feel me? But other than that, you have to take it for entertainment. I'm going to entertain your fucking ass. And I can talk about, because I'm the real Noriega, and I can talk about 100 kilos of dope, and I could see what I watched from Observed or whatever, but you have to take it for what it is.
Exactly. That's why I said it, what I said was to prove a point, because I actually fuck with Rick Ross. Rick Ross makes great music, has great production and everything, but at the end of the day, this shit is entertainment, so it's only going to be... Everybody do a little embellishing, I think, just because it sound fly. You know what I mean? Like the nigga to say I had 20 bitches in the bed, well, you know, 10 on my toes. You know what I mean?
How you going to say he didn't? Like, nigga, you don't know my everyday get down, so how you know I didn't have 20 bitches
that
in the
nigga
bed?
That nigga usually he had.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How you know I didn't know the real Noriega?
Hey, man, I'm just saying, dog.
Sometimes you got to keep your fucking opinions.
No, I'm saying that this what this show for, to get the opinions out. Shit, you know what I mean? I ain't saying nothing. Mano, did I sound disrespectful when I said that?
No, I don't think it was disrespectful, but it go back to what I was saying before, though. Like, for us, coming from where we come from, a lot of times, we don't detach the entertainment from the real life.
Right.
We have to learn to do that. Like Ape was just saying, like, it's dudes that don't come from the lifestyle, but they great artists. They great writers. Mm-hmm. A lot of street niggas be like, oh, man, that nigga ain't living that life. At some point, it don't even matter no more because it's just art.
Right.
We got to separate our feelings for what we think is real. You know, from the actual movie, and the music is the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mano said, And stop taking shit personal, you're fine.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck because this nigga might have never sold a sack in his life. Because I used to be on the corner selling sacks. But I can't get mad because he rapping about it. This motherfucker might have grew up in Cerritos or some shit like that and never touched a dope sack.
Mm-hmm.
But he know about it. He done heard about it. He done watched enough movies about it. He done, because of them, went to jail or some shit. So I feel like I got the authority to write about me selling sacks.
And I think that's what most artists get it from anyway, because it ain't nothing wrong with, you know, if you don't have a homeboy, you know, it's like this.
I don't see it like
that. I'm pretty sure James don't been. James, trust me, you are the inspiration for somebody's rap music out here.
Let me say this. Rappers are like actors. When you get guys that do their homework, listen to certain rappers and get that flow, and because some of them sound like somebody, and they feel that they perfected that. Now I gotta write about something. They ain't never, some cats ain't never left Bel Air. Some cats ain't never left here. So now they rapping about something, like you talking about Rick Ross. Rick Ross rapping about something. We don't know what he's doing, and he know people don't know. But he's perfected. He's making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. He's doing his thing.
Why not just take it as, I mean.
Take it as it is. That's what I look at.
Because some of them young Chicago niggas sound like they really doing the shit they talk about in their music. That shit sounds like some different shit.
You can't judge a book by its cover. And like I said, when you ain't next to a motherfucker and you ain't come from that circle, you got to take it for what it is. A motherfucker making music. I don't know what a motherfucker did. He might have shot a nigga 10 times, or he might have not did shit. Saw the shit on TV last night and wrote a verse about it. But who am I to judge this motherfucker? Because you don't come from my circle.
Yes, when real shit.
So I'm looking at you making music. Now, whether your shit is authentic or not, or you a real motherfucker, I don't know. That's to be judged by a lot of people. But me, I don't got time to be fucking with your shit and trying to judge you on who you supposed to be or who you not.
And there we go with that. Mano said he just sitting observing this shit. I ain't gonna say nothing. Hey.
Nah, I'm just saying. Listen, it's but like I just said. Like he said the same thing. You know what I mean? When you in pocket, it is what it is. It's entertainment, bro. It's entertainment. We don't know how to detach that outlook. Cause I got homies that call me from prison that just don't get it. Right? Yo, what's up with this nigga? Oh, these niggas talking this, talking like that. They really like that. And I try to tell them, like, bro, at this point, it don't even matter. What do it matter? Because the fans is not based on that. Life is not based on that. You know what I mean? So it's just entertainment. Whoever's telling the story the best they could tell it, it's like an actor. It's like putting on a suit and getting in the movie.
Right.
Yeah, and the reality of it is, dog, the fans don't give a fuck anyway, as long as that shit sound dope.
Let me tell you something. Because if a real nigga got a problem with it, then it's going to be tested sometime. And then you see what happens when real niggas got problems with it and they pull your card and test you because they think you that nigga. Eventually, shit happens and shit hits the fan and some of these niggas end up getting popped or dead or whatever, because braggadocious shit gets you, it can get you a different place.
So you have to be able to
accept it as, man, this shit is music, entertainment. These niggas talking about they killed 100 motherfuckers, whatever, man. It's music. They rapping to a beat, whatever. Cool, whatever. I don't know what your real life is. Nigga, I come from one walk of life. I know what I did. I know what James did. We all think whatever. But on record, man, come on, man. That shit play in my car like some music, nigga. And after it's done, nigga, I cut it off. Am I going to think you killed 100 niggas because you rapped about it on your record? Hell no, nah, man.
Hell no.
Please. Arnold Schwarzenegger blew up 1,000 niggas as a robot. You feel me? He ain't walking around this motherfucker like the Terminator. You can slap his ass, too, like it ain't shit. You feel me? So, please, you got to take entertainment for what entertainment is at the end of the day.
Yes, all day. So, Maynard, where can the people find you at, dog?
Say what?
Where can the people find you at?
Oh, yeah, man. You know, I'm outside, brother. Maino Hustle Hard on everything. Maino Hustle Hard on everything. Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is.
Man, for sure, man. Nope. I appreciate you coming. We appreciate you coming on the show, man. And when you out here out west, man, make sure you tell me.
I this brother about love and hip hop, man.
Oh, but go and ask your questions, James. Go
I want to know what's happening with love and hip hop, man.
He's a love and hip hop fan.
I want to want to know.
Jay said, I don't know what the fuck is going down with Love and Hip Hop, man.
You talk about as far as me being on that?
Yeah, I mean, how much of it is real? How much of it is just a strip?
Oh, well, I only had one experience with Love and Hip Hop. I was only on one season. And for me, it was just business. It was just strictly business. They, right. You know, I was able to get myself in a situation where they was giving me a nice amount of money to do it. So I did it. But it was business. I never watched the episode that I was on. I never participated in actually promoting it or none of that. You know, and you know, shout out to the people that did. But I didn't look at doing TV, reality TV, as being anything that I could use, you know, for like music or something like that. It was just what it was. It was just a business move.
Business. It wasn't your fucking reality.
Okay, I got one more question for you. You say you never watched, you never listened to an episode, none of that. I feel the same way. I never listened or watched now podcasts that I've done.
I'm the same way. I don't watch my episode. I don't like watching me.
Okay.
I'm the same way.
I don't watch the shit either.
So even with my own podcast, I don't watch it.
For sure. Do you look at any other podcasts? Are you a fan of any other podcasts out there?
A little bit of everybody. I tapped into this one, you know. I tapped into everybody, you know. Gilly, Wallow, my man Nori, you know. I'm tapped in. I'm watching what's going on. I know about this joint here.
Yeah, some good people, man. You come in the podcast world right now, man. You watch the Joe Budden's podcast? You watch Joe Budden's shit?
Not really.
Man, what you think about that Gangsta Chronicle over?
Yeah, he said he tapped in with us. He said he watched
it. I've been tapped into this one.
Oh, okay.
I've been tapped into this
one. Yeah, for sure.
That's official.
For sure, man. And we fuck with you too as well, dog. And when you out here, man, in the next few weeks, if you got times, I know you come out here to work and everything. If you got times, we'd love to have you by. I don't know if you smoke or not, but eight smoke like a motherfucker.
Like a train.
And I, you know, I don't know if you partake upon it or not, but we make sure we got some of that good, you know what I'm saying? Some of that good weed for you.
Everything's love, man.
And we don't smoke Primo, so you ain't got to worry about getting them laces. Yeah, we ain't got no woolies out here. So you ain't got to worry about us tricking you like, damn, we got Mano high. Mano ain't feel like this.
This nigga still crazy.
You know what I'm saying? But we do got some good weed, though.
All good, man. It's all
I don't
love,
smoke,
man.
But the homies do, so
I think y'all
good. Oh, for sure, man. Well, we appreciate you, bro, and sorry for the little delays early on, the technical difficulties, man. But we appreciate you, dog. Man, much blessings, man. Continued success, man, for sure.
Appreciate y'all, man.
And this has been another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles, man. We got Mano on here, man, today for an epic episode, man. Y'all make sure y'all catch back up with us next week.
We out
this motherfucker. Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find a purple mic on the front of your screen, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles podcast are Norman Steele, James McDonald, and Aaron MCA Tyler. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt, and our audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of iHeart Media Network and the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes, whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode. So, stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.